So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're carrying on with the Ishvara Puri instructs his disciple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we were at this juncture, Lord Chaitanya, of course, is meeting with Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur. And he's discussing with him about his own practices. He doesn't appear to be practicing the Advaitin path of studying Vedanta Sutras and being very controlled and calm, but he's chanting Hare Krishna mantra and not even looking at any Vedanta Sutras. So then he's explaining himself to Prakashananda Saraswati by saying that this chanting is all that one has to do and that by chanting one accomplishes everything. This is, I'm reading from Adi Lila chapter 7, and this is verses 71 to 96. Krishna Vishayaka Prema Parama Purusharta Jarage Trina Tulya Chari Purusharta. These are the direct words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, which are called dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, are known as the four goals of life. Chari purushartha. But before love of Godhead, which is the fifth and highest goal, these four other goals appear as insignificant as straw in the street. So it's interesting how these classes are somewhat overlapping, almost directly, by coincidence, I guess. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that Varnashram Dharma, what he's saying here, is that Varnashram Dharma, one who is situated in the Varna or the Ashram Dharma system, this is what he's looking at. That the whole purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to situate one in Dharma. And then, according to his faith, according to his desire, he will aspire for three other goals. He will aspire for art and calm. And as his faith increases and becomes purified, and his desire becomes purified, then the final goal that he'll aspire for within the Dharma Varnashram Dharma system is moksha. So Dharma, art, calm, moksha are all about the Varnashram human system. The Varnashram Dharma system has been given by God to bring, ultimately, for the purpose of bringing every human being to the point of liberation, to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Mukti. So now, Lord Chaitanya, when we open the pages of this book, where we're continuing, it's on this verse where he's saying, oh, all that Varnashram Dharma, all those four goals, Chari is Bengali for Chatur, or Char. In Hindi they say Char, Ekdotin Char. Chatur, Chaturmukh Brahma, Chari. All those Chari Purushartha, those four desirable goals for the human being, because Dharma is also a goal. These are also four goals. To be a Dharma Dwaji, just be a Dharma Dwaji, religious person, that's one goal of life. Or to satisfy the senses, kama, or Dharma Art, to get objects and wealth, that's another goal. And then satisfying the senses. So he's saying, there's another goal, Panchama Purushartha. And when you compare these four goals of life, artha, goals of life, to this, what are these goals of life? They're more, what is he saying? They are as insignificant. Jare agi trina tulia trina tulia. And tulia means like tula, means balance, like libra, tula. They are significant as a trina. I think we all know what this means. Trinadapi sunichena. Trina means a blade of grass, a blade of straw. So in this one verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna. 5,000 years ago, Krishna came and spoke Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita he says, God, Bhagavan Krishna Narayan, I gave these four goals of life. He says, Chaturvarnyam maya shristam guna karma vibhagasha. He says, Chaturvarnyam, I gave these four varnas, I gave these four ashrams. Then he comes back 4,500 years later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and says, oh, that stuff? All those things I told you, Varnashram Dharma? That's a piece of straw. That's nothing. Forget it. That's as significant as a piece of straw. Straw, grass, trina, nothing. Acha? You seem to be contradicting yourself. You're talking out of two sides of your mouth, as they say. What are you saying? I can't follow. You say one thing, it's called waffling. There's a term. Waffling means you're flip-flopping. You're presenting this argument, now this argument. Now you're saying, yes, go left. No, don't go left, go right. No, don't go right, go left. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a waffle here. I'm going left. You're changing. So this is most astounding, most amazing. The same Bhagavan, he's changing his tune. He's singing a new tune. 5,000 years ago, he says Varnasham Dharma. Then 500 years ago, he says, forget that stuff. Forget Varnasham Dharma and forget all the Vedas. Basically, he's saying, because practically 99% of the Vedas or all the Vedas are about Varnasham Dharma. How to move, how to act, how to behave, how to progress, how to prevent yourself from going down and from the human life. That's the whole gamut of Vedic literature. It's all about moving peacefully and progressively through the varnas and ashramas, isn't it? Sri Nandan, he studied so much. So now Lord Chaitanya comes and says, Varnashrama Dharma is a straw on the street. That means he's saying the Shrutis and Smritis are also a straw on the street. Because things equal to themselves are equal to each other. This is logic. I mean, there's so much being said. If he says this, it also means that, which I already explained to you, because the whole Vedas are about Varnashram Dharma. You follow the logic. So if I say Varnashram Dharma is a straw, that means what am I saying? All the Vedas are a straw, isn't it? Because the Vedas are all about Varnashram Dharma. he's telling all this to Prakashananda Saraswati, who's an Advaitin Sannyasi, an Ekdandi Sannyasi, Mayavadi Sannyasi, and Banaris, and Varanasi. And imagine this 90-year-old acharya, Jagadguru, he's like, a straw in the street? My whole last 60 years of my life, I'm studying, and it's nothing but a straw in the street? It's really like, when you see the context of this discussion, it's unbelievable. As Prabhupada used to say that, I don't know whether Prabhupada said it was his guru or himself. I think Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he was glorifying his guru. Maybe someone can remind me. But I think Prabhupada was saying, my guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Saraswati, he used to preach with a Bhagavatam in one hand and a chopper in the other. That's Bhaktivinoda, is that right? He said in one hand he had the Bhagavatam, and the other hand he had a Parashur. Parashur? Parashur means chopper? Parashur. We say Parashuram. Parashuram is avatar with a chopper. Chopped the Kshatriyas 21 times. It's very interesting because Parashur means chopper. He's a chopper Bhagavan. So now Lord Chaitanya is going on. Panchama Purusharta Prema Anandamrita Sindhu Mokshadi Anandajara Nahe Eka Bindu. I find this most humorous, because if you actually enter deep into this book, into this Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Prem Purushottam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll see that, imagine, just like they say, put yourself in another person's shoes. Try to understand, how does he feel? How is he going to respond to what you're doing or what you're saying? You know, wear someone else's shoes. Put yourself in his shoes and see how he feels. So imagine, you're in Benares, or what we call Varanasi, and you're Prakashananda Saraswati, and you're sitting there listening, and this 24-year-old upstart, this golden sannyasi from Bengal, is giving you the heavy sauce. He's really, really mincing you. He's chopping you to pieces. And now this, what he's saying in his next one, he's saying, listen, all the happiness that you've accomplished, that you've attained through all of your tapasya, through all your yoga, through all your meditation, through all your self-denial and renunciation, all that happiness that you've accumulated, it equals one drop to the happiness that I have. the happiness I have is equal to an ocean. this is the translation of this verse. He says, for a devotee who has actually developed bhav, the pleasure derived from varnashram dharma, dharm artam kama moksha, appears like a drop in the presence of the ocean. Ek bindu. Moksha adi ananda. The ananda, the bliss that one gets with moksha, from moksha, it is nahe ekabindu. It is not even, actually nahe means it's not even one drop. Literally it's saying eke. Prabhupada says in word for word, never compare, it's nahe, never comparable to even one drop. Premananda amrita sindhu. Panchama purushartha. If one attains this fifth goal, panchama, like panchatattva, if one attains this fifth goal, panchama purushartha, which is bhava and prema, prema ananda amrita sindhu, the bliss, he experiences so much bliss by loving God, by lovingly serving God with love and devotion. He experiences so much bliss, premananda, the bliss of love, that bliss is like an amrit sindhu. It's like an entire ocean made of nectar. So on one side you have an unlimited, fathomless ocean of nectar. It's an ocean of nectar. On the other side you have a drop, you don't even have a drop of water. He just says bindu. He says nahe eka bindu. He doesn't say amrit bindu. There's also a term amrit bindu, a drop of nectar. He says nahe eka bindu. Your happiness of Brahma Sayujya, or this Sayujya Mukti, merging in Brahman, or this moksha, even the moksha varnasham dharma, it's not equal. It's not even comparable to one drop. Ek bindu. Nahi eka bindu. And bindu, generally, when we don't qualify, if we don't qualify the word bindu with some qualifying word, which we say adjective, then that the implication is that word bindu means a drop of water. Because if it's something else, it'll say amrit bindu or some other type of bindu. Dud bindu, a drop of milk or something. But when it says ek bindu, it means drop of water. Plain, ordinary, clear water. Not nectar, not amrit. So this is a real smack to the Mayavadi sannyasi, or to even anyone who's following varnashram dharma. So all right, spend your whole life following. It's so much interesting how this exactly parallels the nectar devotion discussion. Exactly parallels, you follow. And it's just by coincidence, I guess. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right, you don't want to take up bhakti as Rupa Goswami is encouraging you in the last class? Rupa Goswami gave the last class, and this class is being given by Lord Chaitanya, who empowered Rupa Goswami in the first place. So the last class is Rupa Goswami's class, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and this class is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's class, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He's saying, oh, you didn't hear the last class? You slept the last 45 minutes and you just woke up? Well, by the way, this is what Rupa Goswami is telling you, and I'm going to emphasize it even more and draw it even deeper. And ingrain it even deeper in your mind. That, okay, all right, go ahead. You're not accepting my proposal? You don't want to take out the path of devotion, the bhakti marg, and practice bhakti? Okay, stay in the varnashram system. Stay there, okay, fine. And you spend your whole life, or life after life, progressing from one varna to the other. If you're a very, very good shooter in this life and do all the rules and regulations, and if you do any sin, then you do the proper atonement, and you die as a very good and pukka, Shudra, or good Shudra. The next life, you can become a very wealthy Shudra, and then you do so much more charity, and then you go up the hierarchy of Shudra, become a third class Shudra, a second class Shudra, a first class Shudra, and then finally, you get rewarded, you become a Vaishya. So you're just your ordinary Vaishya, but you're a Vaishya. And then you go up the hierarchy, you so many births as a third class Vaishya, second class, then you become a first class Vaishya. You make so much money, but you do so much charitable work. You build temples, you do Vaishnava Seva, you distribute prasad, food for life. And then so much blessings, and so much blessings of sadhus. You do so many bandaras, and you feed so many sadhus. You say, oh, you're a Pakka Agarwal. You're a very pious Agarwal, very religious Agarwal. very dharmic-minded. You're a dharma-dwaji. And they all bless you and bless you. Then after so many lifetimes as a pakavaisha, businessman, mercantile man, then you're blessed and you become a kshatriya. But you're a very low-class kshatriya. You can't even string a bow. You can't even pull the string back in a bow, but you're a kshatriya. Like the Gajapati of Puri. The Gajapati of Puri, he's very favorable, he's very devotional and all that. But he's a kshatriya, he's a king, and he's 5 feet tall. He weighs 45 kilos. Not a very imposing kshatriya. Warrior, 5 feet tall, 45 kilos. He's thinner than I am. And what kind, he's going to fight tigers? The kshatriyas of Rajasthan, the Rajputs, would go out 300 years ago and single-handedly with a tiny little tiger's knife in their hand, which you can see in the Jaipur Museum, what do they call it, the City Palace Museum over there. With one little tiger sword and a little shield, they would single-handedly go out and fight a 500-kilo tiger, 800-kilo tiger. They would stand there and deflect the tiger with a shield. They were so strong. And then they take this tiger sword and tiger knife, I guess, it's tied to their arm kind of thing, and jab it right under into his heart. And then he was falling down as the tiger was lunging and landing on him, but the tiger was dead in midair, but still the trajectory and the weight and the gravity of the tiger is falling down on him, and he just deflects the tiger like this, and the hero falls off to the side like this. The kshatriya falls to one side, and the tiger falls to the left. The only difference is they both fell down on the ground. But the kshatriya is alive and the tiger is dead. Hopefully. And then, of course, you may have a few scratches on your shoulder to show your wife at night. Hey, look at this. Oh, my hero. Do you think a five-foot-tall guy, 45 kilos, could go out there and do that? So you're a very good vaishya. You finally take birth as a very... very weak and insignificant king with no kingdom and simply a little white stucco house on the main street of Puri. No influence, no armies, no elephants, no gold, nothing. But your title, king. But then you're a very pious king. You're a very pious king and you visit ISKCON and you write nice articles about ISKCON. And you write nice articles about the devotees, and you do Vaishnava Seva, which this person is doing. And then Krishna and Jagannath is very pleased with you. Oh, you're born as a king, and you did so many nice things for ISKCON and promoting the cause of Vaishnavas. Now I'll bless you. And next life, you'll be you'll be 6 feet tall. You'll be a king because you like being a king. You like it. And you're a very good king and very pious and very religious king. Now you'll be promoted and be a bigger king. And you actually have a palace. And it goes on like this. And then finally, Brahman. So this is the promotion through the varnas. Then there's promotion through the ashrams. And then finally, after all of that, maybe, somehow or other, you get moksha. A very long and arduous path. Many pitfalls and dangers. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, all of that, and if you finally get that moksha, after all of that, it's only nahe eka bindu. It's not even comparable to one drop of the Prema Ananda Amrita Sindhu. So even if you just speak the Sanskrit, you can say, what would you like to have? Eka Bindu or Prema Ananda Amrita Sindhu? So even one only has two words, Eka Bindu. The other one is four. Prema Ananda Amrita Sindhu. And he goes on. Krishna namara fal prema sarva shastrikai bhagyase prema tomai karila udhai. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures, said Lord Chaitanya, is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. Sarva shastrikai, Krishna namara fal prema bhagyase prema tomai karila udhai. He says, you are greatly fortunate to have already done so. So remember that all of these, what we're hearing, this story is called Ishwarapuri instructs his disciple Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya took initiation diksha in this Pancharatrik mantra, Krishna mantra, from Ishwarapuri. And at that time, Ishwarapuri gave him instructions or teachings. And everything that Ishwarapuri told him, Lord Chaitanya later was repeating the same teachings and instructions to Prakashananda Saraswati at Benares, or what we call Varanasi. So this everything you're hearing is being heard or being said by Lord Chaitanya and being heard by Prakashananda. So when he's saying, you are greatly fortunate, you have already awoken your love of God, it's not the Lord Chaitanya is telling the Mayavadi Sannyasi. You follow? He's not saying, he's telling him, these are all the things my guru told me. Because I went to my guru, see, Prakashananda Saraswati, you're wondering why I'm chanting and dancing and appear to be somewhat mad. Well, I'll tell you why. Actually, I am mad. And to confirm my madness, after I was initiated, I was chanting this mantra, I went a little mad. So I went to my Gurudev and said, Gurudev, what kind of mantra have you given me? It's made me poggle. This is the words Lord Chaitanya used. It's made me poggle. And my guru said, yes, that's very good. You become poggle. You are a fool anyway. So don't study Vedanta Sutra. Just keep chanting. Actually, the signs that you're experiencing indicate that you've attained bhava, you've attained prem. Love of God is awakened in your heart. You are very fortunate. So this was all told to Lord Chaitanya because of his experiences he was undergoing while chanting the pure name of the Lord after being initiated. So he's telling, Prakashananda Saraswati, do you know what happened to me? I got initiated by my guru. And this thing happened, that thing happened, and this is what my guru said to me. So my guru told me that the real conclusion of all the scriptures, the real Siddhanta, because you started telling me, you were telling me earlier, Prakashananda Saraswati, you told me is that the Siddhanta is, Mayavadi Sannyasi, we should study the Vedanta Sutra. But my guru told me, Sarva Shastra Kai, he says, Krishna Namera Phala Prema. It's interesting, the translation says, and directly it says, Sarva Shastra Kai, all the Shastras say that the fruit of Krishna Nam is Prema. Krishna Namera Phala Prema Sarva Shastra Kai. All the Shastras, all the different Vedic scriptures, the fruit, the result of these Shastras is that, all these Shastras are saying that the fruit of Krishna Nam, which can mean the fruit of chanting the Mahamantra, or it can mean the fruit of chanting the Gopal Mantra or the Diksha Mantra given by Guru, Krishna Mantra, Krishna Nam. What is the fruit? Prema, which is the Panchama Purushartha, the fifth goal of life. And Prabhupada says, the conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of God. And my guru, Ishwarapuri, he told me, I am greatly fortunate because I've already done so. And then my guru went on to tell me, Premara svabhave kare chitta tano shobha krishnara chanana praptye upajaya lobha. It is a characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms to manifest in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Krishna charan prapte upajaya lobha. Lobha. Intense spiritual or divine greed awakens in the heart. Upajaya. Rises, appears, manifests, awakens in the heart. Krishna charana prapti. To acquire, to attain, to see, to perceive the lotus feet of Krishna. Premara svabhav chitta tano shobha. Tano means the body and chitta, consciousness. So my guru told me that, yes, it's working. This mantra is working on you. You're transformed. You're experiencing the result, the fall of this mantra, love of Godhead. You've attained it. Oh, my disciple, I'm so happy to see this, that I've given you this mantra diksha. And now these symptoms are coming in you. And you're experiencing this transformation of your chitta, your consciousness. And your body is expressing that transformation of consciousness, your tanu. By your shivering, your trembling, your hair is standing, and then tears are shooting from your eyes. You're actually experiencing the anabhavas and vyavachari bhavas of love of Godhead, the divine rapture, the pure love of God, Krishna Prem. Then my guru went on to tell me, Prema raso bhava bhakta hasse khande ghaya unmata haya nache itta uttidhaya. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, laughs, chants, and sometimes runs here and there like a madman. So now Lord Chaitanya is explaining to this inquirer, to this doubting Thomas, he's explaining to Prakashananda Saraswati, yes, you saw me running around the streets of Benares like a madman, and you saw me chanting and dancing with all these people, and you became critical, you became curious and critical, but this is I'm certified by my Gurudev. My behavior is quite bona fide, it's quite authorized, and it's the natural. My behavior is the natural outpouring. My behavior is a natural outgrowth, a natural expression of advancement in my line of yoga. Your yoga is Gyan Yoga. And you have your own symptoms of success. But in our line of Bhakti Yoga, we have different symptoms of success, symptoms of advancement. And I was exhibiting those, and you saw those. Shweta Kampa Roman Ashru Gadgara Vaivarnya Unmaravi Shadadarya Garva Harshadanya Heta Bhavi Prema Bhakta Ghanaira Nachai Krishnera Ananda Mukta Sagare Vasai. Lord Chaitanya goes on to explain about the astasattvic bhavs. Shweta Kampa Roman Ashru Gadgara Vaivarnya Unmaravi Shadadarya. This is the sattvic vikars, subject bhavas, transformation, eight transformations of the body, and then there's the anubhavas, vyavachari bhavas, he's telling here. Perspiration, trembling, standing of the hair, standing on end of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, humility. These are various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of God. Krishna, this is prema. Bhave prema bhaktagana. This love of God causes a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Natchaya Krishna Anandamrita Sagare Basai. Sagare Basaya. Basaya means to float. Sagar, ocean.